I wanted to learn today the halacha of Yitzchak Zvulun, which that Mr. Medrash in over here brings down and talks about Yitzchak Zvulun. I just want to tell you, it's an interesting shayla. As I was driving over now, somebody called me the interesting shayla. We can't talk about it now because it's something I myself have to be melabin, but I'm sure about all the budding Talmidei Chachomim, like the shayla. This fellow went away he came back now. He's a little bit late to this man. It's a different shmur. But when he came back, he found all types of interesting things in his dira. He found, like the shukka, like the three bears story. Someone's been sleeping in. So he came into the bathroom and he found over there that there was a drip in the bathtub that had been like a bad nail drip. It was going and going. It was a drip that was going. That number one had ruined the actual bathtub, because it had been dripping for the last... If you make a cheshbon, usually the guys that come back 3 weeks late to this man, they also leave 3 weeks early. Right? So Mamela, he's been gone now for the last 10 weeks. And so now he's got the bathtub is basically ruined. And before he had left, this brought them to the story, but before he had left, he had told the Baldira there's a problem with the drip. It's a problem with the drip and has to be dealt with. Yeah. So now he came back and it was like mamish, like compounded upon problem upon problem upon. What happened was, he came back, he didn't even think about it. Okay, so the bathtub is ruined, it's not his problem. He thought to himself, it's the Baldir's problem. So first of all, he came back and the first thing he was greeted by was the neighbor who was kind enough to invite him into my dira. Come, I'd like to show you my dira. I didn't understand why he's being invited in. And inside the dira was all the damage that had been done, because when you have a drip like that, it has enough, it has ashlachas, these things, when there's a constant drip in the water, the chula, and Israeli pipes, and the mats. So the person underneath him has had tremendous problems and sorrows from this water drip, number one. Number two is he got the bill, the water bill. His water bill, a normal water bill is... how much, Rabbi Rosh Hashiva, how much is the water, normal water bill? 500 shekel, 700 shekel. His water bill was 5,800 shekel. Right? 5,800, because, it's constantly going. Right? Not only that, he was voted Water Man of the Year by the Israeli Arnona, a special thing on top, that because you spent over 5,000 shekel, we're taking off 700. Right? So a very special Yuchadika prize. But Al Gopanim is Mamish, so he wants to know, number one, who has to pay for that? The person downstairs is claiming that also you have to pay me. You have to pay me. It's your problem. I don't want to deal with your landlord. And Nachbesser, to cap it all off, the landlord finally came. He said, "Hey, look at this. You ruined my bathtub." Right? And the poor guy. So the truth is like this. At first you hear it, it sounds like almost a no-brainer. It sounds like, what do you want? It's not his fault. Major damages that occur in a dira. For example, simple things like if there's a shortage in a socket. A shortage in a socket or something of the sort, because you plugged in something, obviously you have to pay for that. Or regular wear and tear things. So that's your issue. You break the string of the tris. That's your problem, right? Anything that's, we say, pnimi, anything that's internal, like a pipe broke, etc., that's the problem of the landlord. That's what's attack in Shulchan Aruch and Cheshen Mishpat. That's the problem of the landlord. Anything that's an internal baya, a big pipe. So at first glance, this pipe over here, whose issue is it to fix the pipe? It's definitely the landlord's. If there's a drip in this in his bathtub, there's a drip that it won't stop properly. That means that's not his problem. That's not something I did, unless he did something, which he didn't, obviously. So that's the problem of the landlord. So who has to take care of it? The landlord. Right? But the only thing is over here is a little bit different. Because it's just a shayla, again, I'm not going to go into it. I really want to talk about Yitzchak Zvulun, but it's an interesting thing, very interesting thing to how the world of Cheshen Mishpat works. Whose water is this? Let's just deal with the one thing, the water bill. Who's the water bill? Whose is the water bill? In other words, the question is like this. The government agency, they send the bill to he who acquired the water. So who acquired the water? Now, there's no shayla that you can start getting involved, that the landlord caused me this terrible loss and whatever, etc. But whose water bill is it? And so there's two ways of looking at it. The water bill itself, it goes usually to the landlord, because that's how it works. It's on his name. It's not the landlord's name. So at first glance, you say, well, anyways, this, hanah, this hanah that he did not want, was given to the tenant against his will. But who's the recipient of this, that he has to pay for that that water that was given to him. He received 5,000 shekel worth of water, you know, against his will, but he got 5,000 shekel worth. So who received that 5,000 shekel worth of water? Now, on one hand, you could look at it, you could say, well, it's on the bill. Whose name is on the bill? The landlord's name is on the bill. Obviously, the way it works is that the understanding, the original rental contract, is that I pay rent, and the landlord is being maspik, he's giving me water. Now he gets the water, and as if he's now giving me the water, so I can say, okay, so I'm not paying for this water. I didn't want this water. You can't say that to the area, they put you in jail. They're trying to figure out who. So if the idea is that the landlord is the one giving it to me, so I'll say, I only pay for the water that I asked for. Because our rental agreement says that I pay for the rent, I pay for electricity that's going to your name, but I'll pay for it, and I pay for it. It's like one of the things I'm paying in my rental contract. No, if that's the case, so that I can say, I didn't pay for this because I didn't ask for this, I don't want this. And not only that, I told you not to give it to me because I told you to fix the pipe as I was gone. So that's tantamount to telling you I'm not going to pay for this water. Yeah? There's another way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is that the person who he received the water, quote unquote, he received the water, the tenant, we don't look at it like the iriyah, the government agency is charging him. The government agency doesn't want to get involved in your inyanim over here. They want one thing. They want that the person who's using the water, he pays for the water. Now, the way you do that is I can't get involved and start saying, well, let's say somebody comes to your house and he uses the water. And so they say, they have this name. You're the one who's the achroi. You're the one who's the responsible for the water. But in essence, what's really taking place over here, the one who is the receiver of the water is the tenant. And it's his responsibility. They don't know him. They don't care for him. But that's cool that you received that. I'll explain it a little bit with a mashal. You understand? If I borrow someone's car and I park in a spot and I get a ticket. And now they send the ticket to where? They send the ticket to, they leave it on the dashboard. Of course, you take it, you rip it up. But then they mail it. They mail it to who? They mail it to the owner of the car. Who has to pay the ticket? Has to pay the ticket. Right? Can I say, technically, I'm not saying this is menschlichkeit, and I'm not saying there's a special place in Gehenna for a person that says such things. But technically, can I say that, listen, you want to know the truth? The truth is, I caused your car to get a ticket. That's a grumma. I caused it to have a loss. But who is being charged right now? Who's being charged right now is your car. I caused it that your car is going to get this ticket. It might be a garmi. I'm not getting involved now if you have to pay or not pay. But I just want to know, who is the government charging right now? Are they charging the owner of the car? Or are they charging, they really, really want to give a knas to the person who, the cheftzor, the gavra, to din in the car. That they're concerned with the car. The car has to get a ticket, and we're not concerned. We don't care how it got here. Or are they really giving a knas to the person, to the gavra? They want the knas on the gavra. Now, how do we look at these things? It's a difficult child always in chesh and mishpah to be kaveya. Over here, I looked into it as I was driving over. I called up the experts in this field. I called my wife, and she told me that the tenants, the landlords, what a lot of landlords do is that they actually go to the area and they change the name on the water bill that it can go straight to the tenant. There's such a patent, there's such a possibility of doing that. Now, I'm just using that as a prabha, as a simon, as a way to figure out that technically that means that who is the area really charging? They're really charging straight to the tenant. In other words, they're using the landlord as a go-between, and it's not the first way we set it up. It's not the idea that the way it works is that the water bill is going to the landlord, and I buy water from the landlord. Normal scenario. I am not buying water from the landlord. I'm getting the water straight from the government. That's what it sounds like over here. Just that the area doesn't care. They just have a bill. And they want to send it to whatever's wherever they're going to get their money. But technically, what they're doing is the technicality of it is that we are really charging the one who's getting the water. Now, if that would be true, you realize everything would change over here in this shiloh. If that would be true, so then the first way we set it up is that the landlord is giving me the water, and I have to pay him for the water. I told him I don't want the water, so he can't charge me for the water. And the 5,000 shekel bill is his problem. I'm not paying this month for the water. The new way of looking at it, which again, I have to think about it. I'm just about the shayla. But the new way of looking at it is that, no, the tenant is the one who really is getting it straight from the iriyah. he gets it straight from the government, the water. And this person in between is just a name on the bill so that they can have some way. If that's true, then that means that who is the person that received this 5,000 shekel worth of water? Against his will or not against it, but who received it straight was the tenant. And if that's the case, so it's true the landlord is maybe going to be chayiv to pay you for a different reason. Because maybe he's a garmi, maybe it was his responsibility to fix the water. He told you he's going to fix the water and he didn't fix the water, so that might be not just a grama, that might be called that he's actually somebody who's meshubit to do something and did not do what he's supposed to do. He might be chayiv day adam, not even day shemayim, but just some interesting idea how to look at on the way over. That was why I spoke about it. Now, in the parsha, it says like this. It says that Yisachar is before Zvulun. Okay? The Chasam Sofer has the kasha that we find the usually Zvulun is before Yisachar. We find in Yaakov Avinu, Yaakov gives a bracha to the Shvatim, Yisachar comes first. By Moshe, Yisachar comes first. Zvulun comes first. We find Zvulun has always come first. The idea is because without the Zvulun, it ain't Kemach, ain't Torah. If you're not going to have the support of the Torah, then there's no Torah. So Zvulun comes first. So the Chasam Sofer, Esakasha, why in the parsha over here, when they're counting Klal Yisrael, being counted. So who comes first? It says that Yisachar comes first. Yisachar comes first. Why is Yisachar coming first? Zvulun should come first. The famous Kasha. You see the same thing over and over in the parsha. It says Ephraim is before Menashe. In the parsha, usually Menashe is before Ephraim because Menashe supported Ephraim. So why over here Ephraim is before Menashe? So the Chasam Sofer says of art, very famous. It's some type from Chasam Sofer. They say from others. Everybody says the same idea: is that when you want to know in brachas, who gets the first bracha? Zvulun gets the first bracha because we want him to support. We want him to have money. Right? We need the Menashe. When we're splitting up Eretz Yisrael, who gets the first chelik? Zvulun, Menashe. They got to come first, right? But when you want to know, over here we're counting Klal Yisrael. In counting Klal Yisrael, so what is the counting? The idea of counting is it denotes cheshivas. You have things that you count. You like them. You have, they used to have, when I was going, I don't have this anymore, baseball cards. Right, so some of this still happen. But you count them. You count them constantly, right? The Israeli kids, they have these little things called adjuim. Adjuim is like a commodity in this country. It's apricot pits. There's children that have thousands and thousands of them. You left. They're more fun than you know. You know, they're sickle addicted. You should only know. This bachram here that happened to. Okay. It's always the guys that, you know, he has a collection, you wouldn't believe. Okay. But Uncle Panim, it's, you know, thousands of these adjuvants, they count them constantly. Yoim and Belayla, you know, he's afraid that maybe somebody came in a galif in the middle of the night, you know, he found an adjuvant. So things you love, you count. When you want to know what's the most chash, if nobody in his right mind is going to say that the fellow is supporting Torah. So he realizes what's the most important thing in this world, Torah. Right? So Avada, he's important too because he's supporting Torah. But Avada, he's the thing he's supporting. That's the most important because right? Obviously even he realizes it because he's supporting Torah. So the most chashuv is Torah. So that's why in counting things, Yisachar comes first. Okay. So that's Akdama. The why over here, the Midrash and the Farshim, they talk about the parsha of Yisachar's Vulin. And I'm going to give a little bit of basic klalim over here. Yisachar's Vulin. It's a lot of it's one of those parshias that is. The machlaikasim are so extreme in the Yisachar Zvulin. There are so many shailas. What if you find out that you're the Zvulin and you find out that you're the Yisachar? He's the guy that drinks the coffee in the base medrash. You understand? That's how bad. You find out that's your Yisachar and you've been supporting him for the last. So in that case, do I get schar? Do I not get schar for coffee making? Where do I get schar for? Like, how does it work? It's one shot. Another shaila is that, how does it work that the Yisachar lose, you know, his cash? Does he lose his Torah? Does the Yisachar lose? Does the Zvulun get equal amount? Does he get equal? Does the Zvulun have to give equal amount? Does he have to give half of his belongings? You know, the Zvulun's got $50 million. He has to give $25 million to the Yisachar. And these are things that you would think there would be clarity. You know, this is how it works. It works like this. So it's mamish, it's something that you never find this kimat in culture kula, such an extreme in things that are, it's such an extremity in shailas that are not really, we can't really have answers to these. This is what's going on in Shemayim. We don't know. I once wrote a list of 8 shailas, like these shailas to Rechayim Kanievsky. And he wrote back, usually, the way it works is when you write a shaila to Rechayim Kanievsky, so you write the 8 shailas or whatever it is, and then you write 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then he writes on the bottom, Cain, Lo, Ulai, Lo, Cain, whatever, that's how it goes. I wrote these 8 shailas. All the shailas I'm going to mention today. Does Yisachar lose it? Do you have to split it evenly? There's that. He wrote on the bottom, under the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. He left all 8 blank. I never had this in my life before. Should have brought it today. But it's all blank. And on the bottom, he wrote, Elu Shailot Bidei Shamayim Ve'ein Lanu Yediya Behem. Elu Shailot. These Shailas are Bidei Shamayim. They're questions in Shamayim. And we have no Yediyot. We don't know the answers. Right? So whatever I'll tell you today, so the final answer is going to be, Chaykineski doesn't know. Right? So Kala Tarakula, he doesn't know the answer. Ramayshinu. And we'll see the Minchas Yitzchak knew, and other Paiskim knew. But at least, you know, you see such an extremity. I guess the idea is you can't go wrong. You know, somebody will look at it and say, no, you can't go right. But you must tell me you can't go wrong. The one who has the most extreme view about this is Ramayshinu. Ramayshinu has a tshuva in Chaylik Dalid. Could you use nicer money for your Yisachar's Zvulun partnerships, etc.? How does it work? How much? All these are the shy. So the most extreme view is Reb Moshe. Reb Moshe is in Chelek Dalet in Simen Lamed Zayin. Now, everybody said it is extremely important to get clear of these rules, because the Shulchan Aruch says in Reish Men Vav, Kol Ish Yisrael is Chayiv in Talmud Torah, Bein Ani, Bein Asher, Bein Shalom Beguva. He goes through all of the Miuchasim. The guy who has to learn, a poor man, a rich man, a guy who is healthy, is not healthy, a Bal Yisurim, a Bein Bacher, even a Bacher. You know, he's like, Bein Zachar, his Merdik is out. Afilu Ani, you know, who's the last guy on this list? Listen to this. You know, like the last of the Miuchasim. He's all the way down. He's after this guy, the Zakin, the Afilu Bali Shubanim, even after you get married and have children. Right? Even he has to learn Torah. Every wrestler of Torah. So the Shulchan Aruch goes on and says, no, and what if you can't learn Torah? That's how you can't. Meaning you learn only a little bit. You can only learn Nechais. You can learn Daf Yoyim. You don't have much time to learn. So if he doesn't have time, says the Ramah, he doesn't have the ability to learn. He doesn't know how to learn. Or they tear this. He's so tired. So he says, Yesh loy lahaspig lacherim haloyimdim. He has to go and make sure that he supports others in learning. Says the Ramah, these are the magic words. V'nechshav ki'ilu loymed be'atzmai. It's like he learned himself. The Chafetz Chaim writes, there's no games. In Shemayim, the Chafetz Chaim writes, in Shem Oilam, I just checked for one, unfortunately I don't have, but the in Shem Oilam, the Chafetz Chaim says, I think it was in Perek Vav, you'll take a look. He says that when the Zvulin gets up there, if he did it in the right way, that's why we got to get it right. But if he did it in the right way, the Chafetz Chaim writes this, he goes up to Shemayim and he handles with Ramayisha. He can talk in learning with the Chafetz Chaim. He gets the exact Yediyah Satoira. It's a phenomenal thing. The exact Yediyah Satoira that Yisachar got. Now, you all know this. How do you know? How do all of you know this? Because any woman that gets married, right, she gets married and her husband becomes a Meritik Atam Chacham, he becomes Chaim Kanievsky's wife. Yeah. So the halach is, Gemara in Shua says, Eishes Chavres Kav, Chaim Kanievsky's wife, the same way that you stand up for your Rebbeim, your Rosh Hashivas, the same way you have to stand up for their wife. It's the same thing, because she has the same. Now, how does that work? What'd she do? What'd she do? Why have to stand up for her? She cooks. Why do I have to stand up for her? Because she is the ultimate Yisachar Zvulun partnership. The Paiskim say, it's not the Musa and something nice they tell girls in seminary. The Paiskim Lalacha say that the ultimate Yisachar Zvulun partnership is the woman that she's supporting, either emotionally, either actually monetarily or whatever, but she's the one that's enabling him to learn because she watches the children and she takes care of him, etc. So that's the ultimate Yisachar Zvulun partnership. When she comes up to Shemayim, she knows Kol HaTarko. That's why, you know, they always say when you get married, make sure... You're not marrying the chavrus. So sometimes I give Sean Weiss classes too. You're going to be married, and the wife's going to say, what do you want for dinner? You say, mechadis. It's not going to go. Don't go. Marriage, don't go. Mechadis. So you say, don't marry a chavrus, right? But you have to make sure that, you know, one day she's going to be your chavrus up there. So just, you know, think about it like that also. Because she's going to know everything. It's even worse sometimes. Yeah. So she's going to, you know, that Rashman, that Tosfos. She's going to know it also, right? And then it's even more so. Moshe Halberstam, somebody once asked him that this woman, she found out that her husband was like that guy with the coffee, with the coffee, with the coffee, with the coffee. Right? Her husband was the guy, he doesn't even get that far. You know? And she was distraught. So Rav Moshe Halberstam told her, that's a tremendous thing. He told her, you did yours. Right? You did yours. Right? In Shemayim, right, for Keret, you know, he's going to be mamish tremendous on Mars, right? And she's going to mamish no Kol HaTorah, because she was doing it as if he was a Kol HaTorah kuladikar. Again, we don't have ideas in these things, but that's the idea. The idea is you have to get this right, Rabbi Yisai, because, you know, again, if a person's not going to be able to learn in life, if he won't be able to, so then he has to make sure that he has that knowledge. He has to come to Shemayim, he has to have that Yediyah HaTorah. The Chassam Sefer says that in the stomach you taught Kol HaTorah kula. So in this world, Adam l'amal yula. The idea is not to get yediyas hatayra. The idea is to get back what you had in the stomach. So one person's going to get it back through learning it himself. You got to get it back. And one person has to get it back in a different method. The only other method, says the Shulchan Aruch, is he has to support the Torah to make sure, and then he gets it back. And when he gets it to Shemayim, he knows it. So that's the idea. Rabbi Akiva Eiger on the page says, don't make a mistake. It's only beforehand. And that means that if you set up a partnership where you're causing that person to be able to learn, so then you'll get it all. We'll see in a minute how to get it. But Nashe Inkein says, Rabbi Akiva Eiger, there was a person who brings down the whole story, the Maamal Shaker. There was a fellow who, after he was a big tzaddik. He was a big tzaddik. And so somebody came to him and said, you're a big tzaddik. And he said, you know, do you want to sell me some schar? So he said, look, you know, I'm such a big tzaddik. I have a lot. Okay? Tzaddikim like us, you know, we know how much schar we have. So he was asking to sell him for like $1 million. So the guy found out. Rabbi Kiver doesn't bring this whole story, but you look inside the Maamal Shaker. The guy found out that this guy's not such a mamish great tzaddik, and this bigger tzaddikim, so he wanted to go back on the deal. He was going to buy from him mitzvahs and schar and whatever, and then he found out that this guy's not the biggest tzaddik in the world, you know? So he said he wants to go back on the deal. So they asked the Shalat of Maamal Shaker. The guy says, you can't go back on the deal, you know? And they went to Maamal Shaker. Maamal Shaker says, it doesn't work like that. You can't sell schar. You can't sell Torah mitzvahs. Torah mitzvahs is not yours. So he says, how does the sucker's wulim work? It works beforehand. If you're the cause of the Torah, if you cause that, that's the chiddush, that it's considered that you did it, you learned it, but you can't sell it after. And he says, ad kedei kach, a very strong line. He says, and you lost what you tried to sell. Now he didn't get it, and you tried to sell it, lost it, because you showed that by you it's not chashiv. So that's why we got to get these klalim very, very clear, because this is very, very serious. No games. No games. What?
Can't sell. Somebody
you can't sell after. You can't sell the mitzvah after. You can't sell the schar after. Sorry? That's extra chiddush, the Maamal Shaker. That if you tried to sell it, it's not just, there was 2 years ago, there was a bacher in Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael that there was another bacher. I mean, you don't believe these stories until they actually happen in your yeshiva. But there was a bacher who learned Maseches Megillah, right? And at the CM, there was another bacher who didn't really do anything that year. He got very, very close with his pillow. Mamish became very meshuddach, and they're married now. But anyways, the Lamaisa. I got pregnant, different story, but I'll come on. No, not from the pillow. The pillow is doing fine with him. But his wife couldn't take having two wives, the whole story. But anyways, he said to the bacher at the CM, you know, you didn't learn a word this year. Kind of not going home without anything. He said to him, I'll buy from you the schar. I'll buy from you the schar. Took out like a bag of bizli, like that, you know. I'll buy from you the schar. Right. That's a serious shiloh. The other bacher said yes, and they weren't joking. Right. They were selling for real money over here. They weren't joking. I'll buy from you the schar. Right. No. So that's a very serious shiloh. You know, the Maamal Shaker says that he lost. He doesn't get Maseches Megillah. No, not at all. And he, the other fellow, he lost Maseches Megillah. No games. He lost Maseches Megillah because he showed that it's not chashuv to do the schar. But that's a side point over here. I hope that
What?
It's a pretty big amount of ties, but over here you lost it because you never got anything, because nothing to get. And the can you give back the money? Yeah, l'chayra, you have to give back the money. That is true, that's true. See, it's because you're wearing the jacket. You're wearing my jacket. But l'chayra, you lost the money, he's right. Excuse me, l'chayra, you have to give back the money, he's right. Right, you didn't buy anything. You sold him, right? What do we say? You sold him the Brooklyn
Bridge.
No, not the Brooklyn Bridge. Yeah, watch it. The Brooklyn Bridge. Fine, I'll go punt him. So let's go. Like, I want to just go at least to get one mahalach of here. I'll set it up like a chakira, so you can appreciate it. Again, I'm telling you, it's like every chakira. It's not muchach, these two tzadim, but at least it'll enable us to hold on to something that when we see shaila, how it fits in, it's with these two tzadim. One side is, what's the pshat in the whole relationship Yisachar Zvulun? One pshat you could learn is like, we say, like the world says, it's a partnership. Partnership. We'll see in a minute the offshoot, and it'll have its nafkaminas. It's a partnership. That means that if I support, he becomes my partner, like every other partner that I have. And the rules of the partnership is that, you know, whatever the rules of partnerships are, we split the profit and how much I have to put in, and we can make partnerships. So that's a simple understanding. I didn't say anything now. The second way to learn is a whole different understanding. It's that when I work, listen closely, when I work, so my work, when it's being done for the purpose of supporting Torah, when I'm hitting the hammer into the nail, I'm hitting the hammer into the nail. And by me, everything's a hammer to nail. My father's a furniture store, so everything's a hammer into the nail. When I'm hitting the hammer into the nail. So one way of doing that is I'm doing it so that I can buy myself a Lexus or a Jaguar, or those little Porsche things. So that's when I'm doing it for that. That's called that I'm hitting the hammer into the nail for, you know, for the shragi, for the shrag man. That's one way. There's a different way of doing it, is that when I'm hitting the hammer into the nail, I'm doing it because this hammer into the nail is going to support Torah. Every hammer that goes into the nail is, this is not hashkafa. Listen, I mean, you should always listen to the hashkafa too, but this is the halacha. Is it the pshat that when I'm hitting the hammer, I'm doing it for gashmis reason, to get a car, to get a this, or am I hitting the hammer into the nail to be able to support Torah? So then the hammer into the nail, that becomes learning. That's learning. In other words, there's one way of being omel by learning Torah, by learning a Rashba, and there's another way, believe me, if you have to give money, it's a big amelis, it's harder than a Rashba sometimes, right? And when I hit that hammer, and that hammer is causing Torah, so then the hammer becomes learning. You'll see, when you hear the Chakir sometimes, it sounds a little, but listen, what are the nafkaminas? It's extreme, right? It's extreme. So listen to the nafkaminas. Let's go with this Chakir now, and go a little bit. Let's go one by one. Rav Moshe goes clearly with the first Mahalach. He goes, everything is partnership, shutvis. Rav Moshe goes with the most extreme. It's in Chelek Dalet and Siman Lamadayin. It's like a 15-page tshuva. Kedarka, it's extreme. It's extreme Mahalach. You see who Rav Moshe was. I mean, there was nobody, anyways, like Rav Moshe. But you see the intense clarity that Rav Moshe has, that he's willing to say what he says over there. Like, this is how Tzachas Rulin works, and boom, 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 mamish, like fire attack, it goes against a lot of the Achreinim. Rav Moshe learns he's Tzachas Rulin's a regular partnership. I mean, he goes so extreme, Rav Moshe. There's levels, but he takes it to the most extreme. There, he holds that the Zvulin has to give half of his nechasim to the Tzachar. You have to make a real partnership. If you're getting half of what your Tzachar has, so then you got to give half of Zvulin. That means Zvulin, $50 million Zvulin. All right, let's try and find the guy. And you're the 20th Yisachar, so you've got to give 50%. Whatever I get, he gets. Right? I get a Lexus, he gets a Lexus. I get the gaitas. My Zvulin doesn't hold like that. But anyways, he doesn't hold like Ramosh. Yeah. Again, the idea is very clear. The idea is that half-half. So now, how does it work? Since Ramosh has no games, there's no games. In partnership, Zachar Moshe, you have a partner. So how does it work? You get $50,000 profit, right? So what do? You split the $50,000. He gets 25. He gets 25. Zachar Moshe, no games. Same thing with Yisachar. Yisachar loses schar. That's what Moshe learns. He loses. He gets 50% of the schar, and Zvulun gets 50%. Says Ramosha, that's how it goes. Up there, there's no games. That's how it works. 50%, 50%, everything. Ramosha says, could you use Meister money for your Zvulun? Zachar, of course not. How can you use Meister money? I have a partner. Me and you are partners, and we own a store together. Right? So can I use my Meister money for that? It's a partnership. You're buying Schaira. You're buying something over here. You're buying Nechassim. You're not buying Schaira that is already made. You're creating that Schaira, but you're a partnership. I can't use Meister money for my partnership. It's a partnership. There's no games over here. It's a partnership. So I have to, it's my own. Just like I make a partner in this deal and that deal. It's a partnership. Ramayisha goes extreme and all the time. According to Ramayisha, let's say you find out that your Yisachar, right? He's an evil dude. He doesn't learn a word. Not a word. Not a word. Not a Jewish word. Right? A little bit of a Muslim. Pregnant. Nothing. Yeah? So according to Ramayisha, there's no profit. The end. It's very sad. I feel bad for you. In Shemayim, they'll give you for trying. Yeah, up there, you know, in Shemayim, it's worth something for trying, right? But Torah, you're not going to have. You come up there. You go, all right, let's go. Baba Kama. Here we go. Arba Avis. No, there's only three Avis. It doesn't make sense. Arba Avis. I don't understand. Pella, Mamash Pella. He'll remain with that kasha l'netzach nitzachim. For Oilam Boed. Because he'll never get far as Arba Avis Nezikin. He didn't get that far. Arba Avis. And he goes up there. He says to Yisachar, what's going on? Right? And you see Yisachar, he's a little bit red, he's a little bit fire, a little bit burning, a little, you know, they're shaking, and there's a crispy, what's going on over here? He found out he didn't learn, that's Ramosha, no games. It's a partnership that failed. Very sad, no? Terrible. We hope Ramosha's wrong. We pray and hope he's wrong, right? But Ramosha, or we hope that Yisachar's learning, fine. But I'll compound him. That's Ramosha, he goes extreme, extreme, extreme. That means all of the Shilas now, according to Ramosha, you have to give 50%, the Zvulin can't give Ramosha money, the Yisachar has to be learning, the Yisachar's going to lose schar. According to Ramosha, it's all very simple. The emphasis, I'm afraid to say this, Ramosha is very meduyik in the Shach. Ramesha sounds like that way. It sounds like Ramesha the Gain. Ramesha's quoting these Svarim, and that's one mahalach. There's another different way of learning, which again, I'm not going to be out because there's so many shittas and so many things, and the time we don't have, but there's a chidah, there's a orchayim, there's a whole other mahalach you find in the achrayim. That other mahalach is based on this premise, that the Torah that he learns, that's not the nekuda. The nekuda is that when I work, my work becomes shekel, that becomes Torah. Yeah. If you go with that method, that understanding, right? So now think of all the shayos. And this is a mahalach, I tell you, the flaw. There's so many achrayim, it's not kedai to go into who holds what. It's the idea right now. There's so many achrayim that they're coming out with something, it's muchach, this other havana. If you have this havana, think about it. Right? That means when I worked, right, I hit that hammer for the purpose of Torah. I'm using the money that's going to come out of this for Torah. That was my maisa when I did. Say many achrayim. So now, let's say, for example, does Yisachar lose schar? Why does Yisachar lose schar? Why is Zvulun getting the schar in Shemayim for? He's not getting it for that. He's getting it for what he's doing the work. His work is doing for what purpose? The work is for the purpose of making Torah. Right? So this work is not just a gashmistika work. That work is equal to a rashba when you're going in with that avon. So why does Yisachar have to lose schar? Yisachar gets schar, and I get schar. Lashin of dafla. It's ner le'echa, ner le'me. Just like a candle. You know, one guy takes for his cigarette, one guy takes for his light, one guy takes for his candle. It doesn't affect it at all, because he has his schar from over there, right? And I have my schar. It's coming from a totally different angle, number one. Number two, do I have to go and support him fully? Do I have to support Yisachar fully? No, listen, a very nice thing to support Yisachar. Meaning, let me rephrase. I'm sorry. Do I have to give him half of my money? Why should I have to give him half of my money? Half of my money is when you're in the world of partnerships. So we're making a partnership. So I'll give you half of my things for half of your things. That's a partnership. We're making a partnership. But over here, we're not making a partnership. Right? I'm supporting you. I can fully support you, let's say. Let's say I support you comfortably, and that you know how, that you don't have to worry about learning. That means that when I'm hitting this hammer, I'm hitting the hammer. What I'm doing is, the hammer is going to create something, a creation of an entire world of Torah, where this person's going to be able to learn Kol HaTorah Kula. My hammer is creating Kol HaTorah Kula. So what's the difference? Why do I have to give him 50%? Why do I have to go and give him so much money? I have to support him. So if I have $50 million and it takes to support this guy, it takes $100,000, so then my hammer is going for that purpose. Oh, I don't have to give him more than that. There are a lot of places that hold like that.
But it's still based on the Torah that could have learned,
the Yisachar
could have learned.
What do you mean?
And how do we, what
oh, that's
does
the
Zvulun?
No, so that's, no, so
even
that
if he's a
Batlin. Oh, so now the fee is, even if he's a Batlin, many Achrayim, they bring Tak the Chavetz Chaim. That Maisa, the Moshe Haberstein, that story, I said, they go with a different Mahalach. They go that even if Yisachar is a Batlin, he didn't learn a word. Right? But it's, you're not getting the Schar. We're not splitting that Schar. It's not a partnership. We're not getting for that Schar. We're getting that hammer blow was a hammer blow of a Melis. It was a money that was not going to be coming for me. It was the money that's going. When I'm hitting that hammer blow, it's for the purpose of Torah. The fact that he didn't learn Torah, I'm not splitting that. If I'm splitting that, there's nothing there to split. We're not splitting that. It's the hammer blow.
What Torah does he have?
Oh, doesn't matter. Because I'm not the yachid to that Torah.
Right, so what Torah does he have?
Oh, so when he comes up to Shemayim, you mean what Masecht is he going to know? What Masecht is he going to know? Yes, I don't know. I guess he'll get whatever he had in the stomach. Whatever was the capability. Whatever should have been. The Baba Kama, the Baba Batsu, the Baba Sali, whatever, all the Baba, that's what he should get. Right? That's what he's supposed to come away with. That's a nutshell. Now, again, according to this Mahalach, right, so there are some Achrayim that say you can even use your Meiser money. Now, Chazitzuk says you can even use Meiser money for Yisachar Zvulun. Because again, it's the same idea. Even if I'm splitting a partnership, it's a partnership. Here, when I'm working, my hammer blow is causing this. So what's the difference? The hammer blow, it also gives me all my money. And now that money, I'm going to use some of the Meiser money to support Torah. So a tremendous concept, this Rabbi Isai. The time is over. The idea of here is a tremendous idea. Tremendous idea. You know, you see one Nekuda here. You see, everybody, the Gemara said that there's a certain Olam Haba, that Ayin Lo Rasa, and everyone has to get it. And it's only for someone who learns Torah. But it was such a pachad that everyone should be a part of this. The Rebbe Shem had to create this new system. So either you have to be the one that learns, or you have to be the one that supports learning, or you have to marry the guy that sits and learns. Good job.